Good evening and welcome to As the Worm Turns. You are tuned into KVNF's live call-in gardening show. I'm your host, Jill Spears, here with three experts tonight. It's Lulu Volkhausen,
ta-da,
Lance Swaggart.
Good evening.
And Jer Lowe from Earth Friendly Supply. Good evening, Jer.
How are you doing?
We're doing fabulous. This is great to be with you all again this week, answering and talking about the garden. And, of course, Jer here to lend his expertise with that, as well as cannabis questions.
Surely.
That might arise. So, 527.
So, call in.
Yes, do. 527-4868-1866. KVNF Now. And you can email at worm@kvnf.org. Let's start with an email from Eileen today. She'd like advice on watermelons, when to harvest, and they always sound hollow to her when she thumps them.
Yeah.
What you got to say about that?
Well, there's something more definite about that. And the stem where the watermelon comes off on the opposite side of the vine, the stem coming off there is a curlicue. And you look at that, and that needs to be dried out.
Opposite from the node.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah.
He just taught me this yesterday.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You guys were out in your garden up at your farm there, Jer.
So that, along with the underside, needs to be yellow, not white.
Okay.
And I never was good at whacking it and, all that
you
kind of stuff.
You don't even do that?
No.
Mm-hmm. So underside yellow and the curlicue is dried up.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You got melons up at your farm there,
Jer? Yeah, we've got some different varieties of watermelons, some cantaloupes, some we got some pumpkins going too. Is it the same thing with pumpkins then?
No.
No?
What's the pumpkin?
Pumpkins are a squash.
They turn yellow.
Or orange.
But they have that curlicue too, don't they?
They do. Mm-hmm. But you don't harvest winter squash till after a light frost.
Okay.
And if you can leave them on longer, the longer you leave them on, the better.
There you go.
Okay.
See?
Good to know. Thank you, Eileen, for your watermelon question. 527-4868-1866, KVNF Now. Can we talk about watering?
Yes.
It's kind of tricky because it was raining there, and now it looks like it's going to be dry. And
It is dry.
It is dry.
It's hot, dry, and dusty again. Yeah.
Yeah, so
they're thirsty.
I'm watering.
Most things are thirsty.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm watering, still watering everything except the dry beans I've stopped watering, and the popcorn I stopped watering. And
what about potatoes?
Potatoes, one more time.
One more time, yeah.
Yeah, and then that's it.
See, and I have a lot of shade in my yard, so I just do my usual water thing, and I don't worry about it.
Yeah. Now, with all those big trees, how much water are they sucking up in your yard? I'm just curious.
I have no idea.
Okay. I mean, does it look like you need to water more when it's hot like this?
No.
No.
Okay. No, because they're shading.
Because they got the canopy.
Yeah,
because the shade's going on, and so I am watering a couple of trees that don't get water generally, and they're getting watered, a deep, good water for the last time, because the irrigation water is going to go off soon. Uh-huh.
Right. Yeah. Got to think about that, too.
Yeah. It's starting to go off. I heard the Overland went off today.
Ooh, okay.
But I just, because I have
really
big trees. And like the mulberries, you can watch the row of amaranth is right on the edge of this one bed. And the mulberries are just to the north, say 20 feet, but the roots go out 28 to 30 feet past the drip line. And you can see the amaranth goes, and when the roots are close, they just sort of drop down and get a little lower wherever the roots are closer to the surface.
Yeah, I have that. I have that exact thing going on too with the garden when it gets closer to the maple tree roots. But it's recovered now. It slows way down, but then like at this time of year it's all pretty even. It's evened out again. So
Well, I've just made an effort to water more.
On your heavy feeding annuals like cannabis right now, they're starting to flower and their root systems are exploding at the same time, and they can take, most people are probably watering about half as much as they need to, and they can take a lot of a lot of water and a lot of nutrients right now, too.
Don't be afraid to put the water to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to take a call from Shannon in Hotchkiss, and then we're going to talk about those nutrients, Jer. So, good evening, Shannon.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I have a quick question, and this is not so much about gardening, but about bugs.
Okay.
Good.
Sure.
So, I've been at my brother's place, Washington's place, when there was a state fair, and out of nowhere, this big, huge black hornet showed up, and they're mean.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I got hit by one. Tell me. I'm telling you, it's mean. Anyway, they hang out in the vegetable garden, and they hang out by the baby pigs. And I've never actually seen them before. Have you guys seen these things? They're
oh, yes. I have four big nests in my garden.
Yeah,
oh,
indeed.
I still got one to get rid of.
They're a good bug, though, too.
Yeah, they're really good. These mm-hmm. guys are – I'm going to have a garden tour.
They're pretty mean.
Yeah, they can be. They can be aggressive. So, have you ever seen the giant wolf spider out here in western Colorado?
Oh, yeah. Those things are great. I love those things.
They're like the size of a tarantula, you know what I'm talking about?
Right.
Yeah, but I'm a native of this area, and I've never seen this big black hornet before, ever.
So those
big yellow tail on it, they're mean.
Yeah, those big black hornets will actually hunt the giant wolf spider.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I've witnessed this video of it, yeah. And so they'll go down and they'll fight it. And they'll actually sting it, and it will immobilize it. And I've seen these wasps dragging these giant wolf spiders back to their dens.
I actually saw that.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Wow!
What? And you have it?
They're like giant helicopters.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious!
I got hit by one, so I'm telling you, it hurt.
And Lance, you have your garden tour coming up, and so what are you going to do with those wasps or those hornets?
I'm sorry to say I've used spray.
You did?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dun, 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 dun.
Lulu has a BB gun.
If they're on the top of the trees, I leave the nest. But these are at 4 foot level. Mm. Yeah. No good.
Yeah, and it really isn't because you bump them even a little bit and they get
They're used to me.
So at the store we have traps, but we also have this unit that – it looks like a hornet's nest. It's a it's a puff up thing, mm-hmm. and as it turns out, the wasps, hornets, etc. They're all very territorial, and so you put up these fake hornet's nests.
They're very big.
Yes, they're very big.
Mean.
But you put up these fake hornet's nests if you want an earth friendly way of going about this, and it'll make them. They're very territorial, and so they'll. Buzz Move. Off.
Go elsewhere. Buzz off. All right. So there you go, Shannon.
All right. So, Lulu, what should I do? Should I kill them or should I just,
Well, are they.
Just ratchet and whack them around.
I don't think you should whack them around.
Yeah, be careful then.
Yeah. If they're not in your way and if they're not where you're walking all the time, leave them alone. They're going to go. They're going to go. Oh, but they are? Well.
Yeah.
Try Jer's thing. Try the fake nest and
Fake
see if
out.
That works.
We have those in the traps. So
get a shotgun, and somebody, Shannon. Go load your shotgun with dimes and shoot them and
plunk
run.
Them off.
Yeah,
plunko.
You know, might be fun to try.
Well, I've never seen them before, and they're big and black, and they have an orange tail on them.
Yeah, they're native.
Yeah, they're native. I've seen pictures. Yeah.
They just decided
to. You just got lucky this year.
Right.
Yeah. That's all. You just got lucky. There they are.
And next time you get stung, you put chew up some mullein.
Or plantain.
Excuse me. Plantain. And put the juice on your sting and it'll take it away.
Take it right out. You know the lance leaf and the broadleaf plantain? Do you know what we're talking about?
I do.
Yeah, you do. Well, you just chew up a little bit. Get a leaf or two and chew it up, and it's your saliva reacting to the leaf, so you don't want anybody else to chew it. You got to chew your own, and then put it on your sting, and it'll take it out.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Lots of good ideas there.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Good luck. He's right.
Yeah.
All right. Shotgun. Yeah, I appreciate it.
Thanks for the call, Shannon.
Yeah. Shotgun. Get the shotgun.
I think that'd be a good Halloween costume for Shannon. Giant
wasp hunter.
Oh, man.
No, I wish him well. That's scary stuff.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
All right. Call us up, 527-486-8166-KVNF now. And we were just talking before Shannon about watering and the cannabis plants needing lots of water.
Yeah,
what are we doing with fertilizer right now because they're flowering?
Well, you want a good flowering mixed fertilizer, something that's high in phosphorus, typically a good balance of potassium. Your micronutrients are pretty important right now. You can get those from kelp, or there's a lot of ways to get micronutrients. And then you want to build your Brix levels, those sugar levels. Remember we were talking about that last week.
Yeah, Brix levels, right.
So you want to build those Brix levels and let the sugars go into the flowers and back out to the leaves. It's a lot like fruit growing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, good way to look at it. Mm-hmm.
So it's, and lots of silica.
Okay.
Yucca.
Yucca.
Yeah.
Yucca has silica in it?
No, yucca is different, but, you know, the yucca extract, yucca plants, it's more than just a great wetting agent or emulsifier. Mm-hmm. Yucca plants exist in very extreme environments like we have out here. Mm-hmm. And so it's also a soil conditioner, but when your plant takes it up, they can take better stresses.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh,
so,
that's so cool.
Yeah, the silica and the yucca extract, because the yuccas exist in very extreme environments, they can help with heat and cold stress.
Right, right. Sure. And so were you just grinding it up and putting
water? Well, we have yucca extract at the store that's like super concentrated. Yeah. And then we also have a yucca meal that you can mix into soils if you'd like. But it's called the Shinodendron extract, I believe. Shinodendron extract is the yucca extract. So.
See what you can do. I mean, you can just get so fancy.
Yeah, right.
Well, I remember this was 40 years ago, and I'm working for this old man that had his grandparents had homesteaded in San Juan Capistrano, California. And they had citrus groves there. And he talked about using yucca juice or extract back then. And it took, once they did that, because the soil became, could absorb so much more, it took twice as much water. But at the same time,
it held twice as much water.
But they didn't have to water as much either.
Right.
Wow.
You know, that was 60, 70 years ago that he was doing that.
Yeah, it's a soil conditioner. It's, you know, for our alkaline soils, it's very good to use as a soil conditioner here. And
yeah, I like that. It feels native and natural.
I like that, too.
It's good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like a plan, Stan.
All right, 527-486-8166-KVNF now. We've got some really smart people here to answer your questions.
Yeah,
Jeff,
you guys
there.
Have questions. Mm-hmm. We know you do.
Yeah. Lulu, you wanted to say something about the library thing. Let's make sure that we say
because there's something going on.
Tomato haiku.
The tomato haiku contest at the library. And you go and you pick up one of these little entry forms and you do your little entry. You can have three entries per person. And the contest deadline is August 31st, so you better get down there and get it.
That's coming up Thursday.
Yep. And anyway, it's really fun. The haikus are really fun.
Delta County?
Yeah.
Libraries?
Delta County Libraries. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And you have a special haiku there, don't you?
Yeah. Well, I have haikus from the other years. The first place winner of people over 16, her haiku was, "Green leaves hanging from fawn's mouth, cedar edge breakfast, tomato plants trimmed today." Wow.
Nice.
Very,
all
very
right.
fancy.
That gives you flavor.
Okay, yeah. And the winner under 16, this is really good. "A burst of flavor, enhancing tasteful salad with a tiny bite." I think that's
beautiful.
Tomato haiku.
Yeah. Tomato, tomato.
Tomato. So go. That's a
wonderful thing. Yeah.
It's all about just.
Can you believe it's already the end of August?
Yeah, I can. I can believe it.
It's nuts.
It is nuts.
This summer went really fast.
It did, but they all go fast. I mean, it's okay. It's all right. It's good. And I don't think we have to get hyper about the end of summer because give me a break. September and October, are they not two of the best months?
They are the best months.
They're coming. They're coming.
Can you believe it's the end of August and it's 100 degrees?
No, that is that. But you know what the grace is. The saving grace is the fact that it gets so cold. In the evening, that feels good.
Yeah.
We're having 50-degree temperature swings daily at my place.
Makes it a little rough on some stuff.
Makes the fruit taste delicious.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, buddy.
There you go. Hey, Deborah from Norwood is on the line. Good evening, Deborah.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Deborah.
Yeah, I was wondering, this is way off the tomato and the high temperatures, but maybe the high temperature would help kill the thistle. Mm. I have a continuous thistle in my greenhouse and around my greenhouse, and I just don't know how to eradicate it.
Are you talking Canadian thistle?
Yes.
All right, so one way to deal with thistle is, has it gone to flower yet?
I know you're supposed to get rid of it before the flowering.
Well, that's not exactly what I mean, though. Right whenever it starts to go to flower and it starts setting seed, that's whenever you go and you cut it down or at least cut the seed tops off, and then it sucks back into the ground and it kind of kills itself. And you can control it after doing this for just a few years. So if you have like some big head shears, you can just kind of go through, and if you catch it right at that point where it's beginning to flower and set seed, but before they actually puff out, you can do a top cut and you can really set the plant back.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And when I pull the young plants out, because some of them in my greenhouse are growing up through the gravel that I have in the main floor, can I throw that into the compost? Is that okay, or should I not do that?
If it doesn't have seeds and if you don't spray it with poison,
you know? Yeah, you're fine.
Okay.
Yeah, I've put all that kind of stuff. No seed heads in the compost.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's like anything.
Yeah.
If you're persistent about it, and I used to just use a shovel and just whack them at the base and just keep whacking them off. And they sometimes develop a fungus in the roots that way.
Yeah.
And that kills them as well.
Yeah. So.
I had somebody talk about cutting them, and this is persistence, and pouring a little water down the center tube of it, and it'll rot it from the inside out.
Yep.
And we actually sell a product called Burnout that is an all-organic topical, and it's basically citric acid.
It'll burn them out?
Yeah, it's citric acid and clove oil is what it is, and you can...
It's just a constant thing out here, and it's been done, and I'm pretty diligent about getting on top of it, and I'm constantly pulling the little babies out, and I know that you're not allowed to let them get to the seed, but it seems like it's just a constant growth of thistle.
Yeah.
You're creating a perfect spot for them is what's up
and
there.
And then there's that, too, right? Right, and I know somebody who's getting rid of goats, and goats will eat thistle.
Yeah,
you know.
Right. Yeah, but they'll eat everything else in the greenhouse.
They will do that.
Yeah, they will.
But I could put them outside around it, and that would be good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could. Up at the orphanage farm up there, they're highlining their goats. They've got a couple of little goats, and they highline them. They just, you know, put a carabiner on a highline with a line to the goat, and they walk all over and just eat everything. And
you know, I've definitely thought about the goat situation, and it's getting real close. We have lots of goats around here in Norwood.
There you go.
What is this product called again, and where do I get it?
We have it at our store, Earth Friendly Supply Company, up in Paonia. And
Friendly Supply Company?
Earth Friendly, yes. And we
sell. Okay, and then what is it called?
It's called Burnout.
Burnout.
Mm-hmm. It's pet and kid friendly. Weed killer, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay, great. Yeah, so, well, thank you so much.
Right. Thank you, Deborah.
Thank you.
Appreciate the call.
Love your show.
Thanks. All right, thanks.
Thank you very much.
You know,
bye.
That's interesting because I think I'm like Deborah. I've always just worked at being persistent and pulling them out.
Right.
And you're saying don't do that. Whack them off.
Starve them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just
disrupt their
just
life cycle.
Mm-hmm.
There's something about that right whenever they go to set flower that they're in a very detrimental point right then, and they're about to go put all their energy into producing that flower and seed.
Exactly.
And if you take that away from them at the perfect timing, you can pretty much just – they'll burn up.
Yeah, you just – you wear them down. Yeah. It's the same thing with dandelions. If you really want to be getting rid of dandelions in a small spot, dig them out. When they're flowering, the minute they start to flower and set flower in the spring, boy, it doesn't matter if you don't get all the root. You're gonna shock them,
and they're in a transitional period where you can really be effective.
So there you go.
Right on. Great question, Deborah. Thanks for calling. 527-486-8166 KVNF now. And let's see. What about those bees out there? These are going crazy.
The bees are having a good time.
Yeah.
And I just, I have planted pearl millet, and the bees are collecting all the pollen off the pearl millet. Like the bees will collect pollen off the tassels of corn. Well, they're doing the same thing, only this is pearl millet. Pearl millet looks like a cattail.
Right.
And stuff. And it's really quite beautiful. And so it's fun to go out there, and they're just humming away.
Yeah, we had bees on our corn, and I've never seen so many bees. I went and stuck my head out in the middle of the corn and listened to them buzz around me. And then I started looking at them real close, and they had so much pollen under their legs that they could barely fly with it. It was crazy.
Yeah.
Wild. Do they? Do you have hives? Do you have?
No, we don't have any hives. I mean, there's a lot of hives around us, but I think we're gonna. We sell hives at the store, and I think we're gonna go ahead and get some.
Yep. Well, that would be a great and wonderful thing. And I just had a buzzing in my ear, in my head, in my headphone. I was like,
giant,
what? Wait a second.
Giant hornets from Shannon.
Right.
Hey, we have Monk on the line from Paonia. Good evening, Monk.
Good evening. How are you doing?
Good.
Well, how about you?
Oh, howdy, Monk. How are you?
Hallelu.
What's going on?
Well, I wanted to know if this is a bad time of year to move a honeysuckle, and also when's the best time of year to put teenage or immature fruit trees into the ground.
Well, wait till the honeysuckle's dormant.
Yeah, I would on that.
In other words, the leaves need to drop or a good frost on it.
And, okay.
Yeah.
And then I want to have 10 fruit trees on the land. I'm so old, I don't want to put a seed in the ground, so I wanted to put some mature ones in. And how old should they be, and when's the best time to do it?
Well, you could do it if the nurseries have them, you can get them and plant them into October, would you say?
Yeah.
You know, and if it's a dry winter, you're going to have to water them.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, once a month.
But if you can get their feet under them before it freezes, that would be good.
Yeah.
Okay, but if I try to move those honeysuckles right now, they're going to die.
They would suffer.
You're going to set them back, that's for sure. Yeah. How big are they?
They're about 4 or 5 feet tall, and I kind of have to move them to push earth into the house to get the water to drain away from the house, and they're right in the way.
Uh-huh. What's the trunk on them?
The trunk width is probably 1.5 to 2 inches.
Okay, so for every inch of caliper, you need 12 inches of root ball.
Right.
So you need about an 18-inch root ball if it's about 1.5 inches.
Okay, and can I doctor them to make them survive?
What would you do? You could do something.
We have some rooting hormone that would help.
Yep.
There's several things we have up at the store that it would be helpful for transplanting. There's something called
And hormones. The store is called what?
Earth Friendly Supply.
And where is that located at Paonia?
We're up on Lamborn Mesa, 3 miles outside Paonia.
Up by SEI?
No,
the other way. Give me a call. I'll give you directions to how to get
there.
Okay,
sweetheart. It's good to talk to you.
Okay.
Good to hear from you, Monk.
All right. Public radio rocks.
Yeah.
Right on.
When are you going to have a show down here?
I was going to talk to them about that. I don't know if they could put up with me. I do my show on weekends when I don't have the staff around to bug me, you know.
Right.
Good plan.
Just like you, you smart girl.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Good deal.
All right. Thanks for calling,
Monk. Thanks, Monk.
Thanks a lot, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yep, bye. You know, there's another option, too, is honeysuckles are pretty easy to get, and they grow quick. You could just, you know, if it's
if you need to save your house.
If you need to save your house, maybe you want to just haul it out and just get a new one.
I actually, being a landscaper, I have no problem taking things out and starting over.
Especially around here. And so Monk is from the Roaring Fork Valley, so he's used to a much slower growth rate
over there.
And I'll tell you what, over here you have no problem. If you will be blown away by how fast everything grows. So don't be afraid to do that if you think you might want to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just at the end of the day, I was consulting somebody in flower beds, and I had told them, and the flower beds are pretty much looks like the lawn. And I said, you just need to take the whole thing out. Yeah. Oh, but there's good plants. This is, they're all full of grass.
There is not a good plant. Yeah,
it's all full of grass. Right. Yeah. Mow it all down. You can hand turn it and let it freeze and thaw winter. 90% of the grass, you're still going to have to dig it in the spring.
Yeah.
I was looking at the hill strip in front of my house where, they've been working on the water line.
Oh,
right?
Yes.
So my hill strip is trashed. You know, there's been big equipment in there and it's trashed. I got to do something different. And I just, it's going to be a project and a half.
I have a love-hate relationship with grass.
Right.
I'm trying to figure out if I should put it between my rows of berries right now to keep the weeds down because it does that, but then it's grass.
But then on the other hand, it never stops.
Well, you got to get the bunch grass, and you could also just do a clover, lawn clover.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think that's the white what we're clover. Looking at. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, we've got time for one more call, and it's Len in Hotchkiss who has a thistle solution.
Oh, great.
Hi, Len.
Hi. The solution is I found in my field last year, and they're still there this year, and I looked them up. There's a Canada thistle weevil.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, there it is.
Okay. And if you Google them on the web, you can buy them. You have to get your order in before June, but they're available from, I can't remember the name of the place, in Montana. But they're in Canada and in Montana. And I discovered them by accident because I wondered what was happening to the tops of the Canada thistle in my field. And looked and looked and unrolled them, couldn't see anything, and I have a little 10-power loop that I carry with me, and I could see them. With that, they're not very big. But they seem to do the job. They set the plants back, and there are some images on the web that show an infestation in a patch of thistles before and after, and it's quite remarkable.
Now, I've seen those. I just didn't know you could order them.
Yep,
you can order them. Have they wiped out your thistle?
No, No. But they sure set them back.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so anyway.
Yeah.
All right, great.
There you go.
Thanks, Lynn.
Another part of the program.
Just another
hit them where you can.
Yeah. Hit them with everything. Right. Throw the kitchen sink at them if that's going to work.
There's also a mite that attacks them as well.
Yeah, there's a mite, mm-hmm. and there's some sort of symbiotic relationship between that weevil and the painted lady butterflies.
Hmm. Oh, sure, I bet
and
there is.
And I wrote a whole article on it once, and I can't really remember exactly how it goes.
That'll happen.
Yeah, but I mean, there's a reason why they're not native to Colorado. You know, because they were brought here, and
by the Canucks,
by the Canadian, by whatever. Yeah, you can't blame one group of people. They just plain got here.
Weeds of the West. Right.
Weeds of the West.
Right. It's Europe or Eurasia, I think.
Usually, yeah. They're, all of it comes from the Russian steppes and Europe and Asia. And
yeah, Europe, they sure got that thistle, though.
Yeah, yep. There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, some good callers and good questions tonight. And thank you, panel of experts, for talking about that. And right before we go, I want to remind you of the What's Up on Redlands Mesa happening on Saturday, September 9th. That's a week from this Saturday. And big tour going on up there. High Wire Elk and Buffalo Ranch, Hakuna Matata Suri Alpacas, Empowered Energy Systems, Dave and Lisa's Cobb House, P Peace and Plenty Farm, Lance's Garden. You can tour Lance's Garden if you've ever been curious.
I might have to go just to do that.
I know. It's magical. And then, of course, it's happy hour at Jack Rabbit Hill Winery. So fun stuff.
And there's a lot of stuff going. There's like three different things going on at the Grange itself.
Okay.
Artisans and stuff doing stuff there.
What day
and
is there's,
that? The 9th.
The 9th, okay.
Yeah,
and there's also a farmer's market
ready.
There.
Yep.
Oh, my goodness.
All of us local people are donating produce to that.
Awesome. So go to online, www.redlandsmesagrange.weebly.com, and you'll find all that information.
Yeah, it's all there.
It's going to be a great day on Redlands Mesa.
Yeah, it is. I want to go.
I do, too.
Yeah, let's go, Jilly. We'll go together.
Do it. All right. See y'all on Redlands Mesa, September 9th. All right, Jer, great to have you here again.
Thanks for having me.
See you again.
Thanks, Jer.
And
good to see you guys.
Lance, great to be here with you. It's One Woman's Perspective coming up next. Thanks for listening to KVNF. Yeah.
Good night, everybody.
Take care of those gardens.
Yeah.
Good evening.
Who you're about to make a sign to? I got a gal that I love so. Low, little low, and low.